RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From an efficiency standpoint, you know, you can't host Rice and turn the ball over 18 times
yeah.
and still win and expect that to like move the needle. You have to dominate in the conference and you got to really play well. Even in your losses, like you got to play well the rest of the way. And even that, I'm not sure is enough just because again, if all those hypotheticals play out, your best win is a home win against Vanderbilt. And again, Vanderbilt's really good, but Vanderbilt's not Purdue. I'm not sure Vanderbilt is Louisville.
What happens if Vanderbilt gets into SEC play and finishes like 9-9?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and then of course, you know, the American's bad again. Like Tulsa has a really gaudy record. They're 10-1, but they haven't really played anybody. South Florida's doing okay. I think they're 5-4, 6-4, with a couple of nice wins. They've beaten Utah State, and everything. So, but like, you know, the rest of the league is not going to help you unless you're beating them by 20, unless you're beating everybody by 20, you know, 15 or 20. So, there's just a lot of things, even if Memphis were to win tonight, even if they were to win on Saturday, there's still a lot more that has to go right, that has to happen for Memphis, in my opinion, to credibly be in the picture.
All right. What are you looking for tonight?
Can Memphis shore up their deficiencies, like the overwhelmingly glaring deficiencies that showed up against Louisville? Like, can they respond? That's the thing. It's like, you know, we saw after they lost to UNLV, we saw them stand toe-to-toe for a long time against Purdue. We saw them, you know, I mean, obviously they lost the Wake Forest game, but it wasn't like,
I mean, what, they led for 75% of it, 80% of it, maybe more?
Yeah, right. It wasn't like they folded. They responded to me. Like,
yeah, no,
I
totally agree. They didn't close
well.
The game out, but they respond in terms of their focus and mindset coming out. I totally agree.
Yeah, coming off the I'm going back to the UNLV loss. I felt like they responded to that ugly game, responded well. So, like, can they do it again? That's what I'm going to be looking for tonight is, can they respond? Not necessarily saying they have to win, because again, they didn't beat Purdue. They didn't beat Wake Forest, but they responded well. And so, you know, I'm not necessarily sitting here saying they have to win to make everything better, but like, you got to show that you can, you know, that you're capable of responding again.
Jason, we appreciate it, my man.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
That is Jason Munns, Tiger basketball beat writer for The Commercial Appeal. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the list. Want to get into the Coach's Confidential College Football Playoff Edition. We got some quotes that I want to discuss with the guys. We'll talk about that and more when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Robert Irwin Jewelers will make it jump just like Van Halen when you add some sparkle to the holidays with Robert Irwin Jewelers. Some of their top holiday picks include the lab-grown diamond stud earrings. Every woman needs a pair of diamond studs. They're like the little black dress of jewelry. And right now, you can get the 2-carat lab-grown diamond studs starting at just $7.99. You can also check out the new designer diamond necklaces in 14-carat gold, or the diamond flexi bangle bracelets starting at $1.99. You can wear them solo or stack them for a bolder look, although head on in because quantities are limited and they will be running out fast. Of course, big engagement season. Jeff said he was in Robert Irwin Jewelers yesterday, and there was a gentleman looking to buy an engagement ring. If you're looking to buy an engagement ring, go do what I did. Go see the fine folks over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Whether you want to choose from their handcrafted engagement rings available in unique, trendy settings, or you want to design your own one-of-a-kind ring, Robert Irwin Jewelers has all the options right there for you. Also, hurry on in because you'll get the best selection the sooner you go shop. You can also buy now, pay later with 12 months interest-free financing or take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Robert Irwin Jewelers open this Sunday, now through Christmas. You can also shop online at rijewelers.com. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers. Let's get into the list. Confidential coaches. All right, I'm a sucker for this gimmick. Normally, of course, this comes out usually July-ish. You know, back when we used to get the old magazines for the preseason magazines. But anytime you get the anonymous coaches on the teams, I'm a sucker for it. Bruce Feldman over The Athletic has compiled a college football playoff edition, and he also has taken a few polls. This one actually surprised me a little bit. Of the coaches polled, which team will win it all? Coach, who do you think got the most votes?
Who would win it all?
Correct, of the 12.
So I haven't seen the list, which is probably a good thing. I would say Indiana, Ohio State.
I was thinking they would say Ohio State. 50% of the coaches polled said Georgia.
I can see that after the dominant, and it's the SEC still.
They do feel like they're trending.
Yeah.
I still think I would have answered Ohio State. I still think Ohio State's the best team, but I'm not trying to diminish Indiana. They played the football game and they won. They deserve to win. I just kind of look at the games like if they played again, I'd still want Ohio State.
That was one of those games too, like that specific game, the Ohio State-Indiana game that we saw, played perfectly into Indiana's hands and the way they want to play and really the way they have to win that game. Whereas with Ohio State, with how good Saiyan has been, with the talent they have at receiver, there are a couple different ways that they can win.
Well, like if you look at it, here's where I'll give Indiana all the credit in the world. That game could have gotten away from them early, and they kept it to like 10-6 at half.
Yes.
But based on throwing the pick deep in your own territory, they were not moving the football really at all. Like that could have been a game where they get up 2 or 3 scores, and I don't know if Indiana's built to come from behind against that defense. I don't know if anyone's built to come from behind against that defense. But they did a good job of mucking it up enough, making Ohio State not really score touchdowns in the red zone. Yep. But like to your point, how much differently is that game if Julian Saiyan doesn't slip on the quarterback sneak? Like 4th and 1, they were going to pick it up, and I think it was going to be 1st and goal, like the 4, maybe the 3.
Yeah.
Now, credit to Indiana. Ohio State didn't do much in the red zone, but it's like, I think 4 cracks from the 3 or the 4, I would have liked their chances of probably getting it in.
Especially with how good Bo Jackson's been for them in that backfield. God, that still sounds so weird to say.
It definitely does.
But that's the thing. It's not even just that. I mean, Ohio State, the way that their defense has been playing and the way that Indiana's offense kind of struggled, it really could have just taken one explosive.
Mm-hmm.
And with a guy like Jeremiah Smith on that team and Cardell Tate on that team, that could come at any point for Ohio State.
And I give Indiana credit, they were not going to allow that to happen.
No.
Like,
They played awesome in that game.
Defensively, they tackled awesome. But also, they basically ran the shell. They kept the DBs deep. But then they also told their linebackers, get your butts back, and then come up and tackle. And basically, they were just going to say, like, all right, Saiyan, see if you can check it down the field and go 80.
Which that can get you down the field, but where that tends to struggle
red zone
is
roulette, baby.
There you go.
All right, here were some of the comments. Y'all ready? I don't think there's any team that is just great this year or as good as Alabama or Georgia were when they won it or even as good as Ohio State last year. Georgia's O-line has matured, so that has taken a jump. The QB is a winner. Defensively, Georgia can play big and can match up. They're really good and battle-tested. This from a Big Ten offensive assistant. Ohio State and Georgia seem flawed. I know Indiana just beat them. I'm sorry. He answers Ohio State is the team that he would have picked. Georgia seems flawed. I know Indiana just beat them, but I don't think they can beat them twice, essentially what we just said. Ohio State was pretty banged up in that game. The wideouts will be healthier. On defense, Ohio State is really sound with great players. Their red zone defense is unbelievable. A group of five coach said Indiana is the team that he would pick. They played big in big games. I was really impressed with them winning at Oregon and beating Ohio State. And then an SEC defensive coordinator said Georgia, they look the cleanest. They've been getting better as the season's gone on. They're going to stop the run and find your weakness, and they're good at using them against you.
So I was going to say that, too, that I don't know, maybe they were prisoner of the moment, but like last week, some of the biggest college analysts and NFL, it was a lot more people picking Indiana than I thought. I don't know if you watched some of those shows. People were like, they think they was doing their bracket. They were picking Indiana. But it was people saying Georgia and Indiana for the championship, too, because I think – but I was a little happy. I don't know if this is true. People kind of had – Miami going to, like, the Final Four on some of their brackets. Like, they think they could get hot, right? And so
– this will make you feel even better.
There was a note on this.
Which team is the biggest sleeper in the field? Miami, number one.
Yeah.
That was 21%. Oregon at 17%. Oklahoma also at 17%. Alabama, Ole Miss at 13%, as is Texas A&M. Texas Tech at 4%.
They should be higher.
That was my thought. Like, yeah, look, they're the four seed. Do they actually count as a sleeper?
Oh, okay.
I think they do because to me, sleeper seems to be anyone other than Ohio State, Indiana, or Georgia.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's how it's making it feel.
Again, we'll see in 2 weeks or whatever, 2.5 weeks. But doesn't it feel like everyone's just going to pick Oregon against Texas Tech?
I was going to say, if they get Oregon, correct, don't they?
I don't know, though.
I don't know.
Texas Tech ain't just going now.
No, I'm talking about doesn't it feel like everyone's going to pick them? I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. Because one thing is definitely true about Texas Tech. Their defense is as nasty as anyone else's defense.
Yes.
Now, I don't know about the offense, but I like their offense better than I like Oklahoma's offense.
For sure.
Yes.
For sure.
I've flip-flopped on the Oklahoma-Alabama game 17 times so far.
Isn't that why it's a one-point spread?
I submitted the picks column last night and took Alabama after spending all day yesterday thinking I'm taking Oklahoma.
I want Oklahoma to win. I mean, I don't have nothing against Alabama. I just don't think they're fully deserving to be in it. So, but that'll make them win sometime.
Well, so this is like the whole thing in my head. It was – initially, when I first saw the line, I was like, I think this is a decent spot to bet Alabama because they looked like garbage against Georgia. Jam Miller right now is scheduled to play. Also, R. Mason Thomas is going to play for Oklahoma. I just keep wondering if Oklahoma is that team that I'm just destined to always be wrong about. Because at first, I was like, I want Alabama. And then I was thinking, wait a minute. Alabama still can't run the football. They're going up against a defense that is going to, if they're one-dimensional, is going to probably have a lot of success. But then the flip side is like, I think the best unit in the game is Oklahoma's defense. But I do think if you compare Oklahoma's defense plus its offense versus Alabama's defense and its offense, I think Alabama's better. I also think DeBoer's a better. I'm still not sold on Venables. Venables just gives me the DC not head coach vibes.
Yeah, but as soon as you take your confidence out of him, he'll win a big game though. So he like right there with it. Is it safe to say, guys, that if Lane was still here, they would probably be the bigger sleeper? People would have voted.
I think no, because I think George and I have talked about this, and I'm not just saying it because George is an Ole Miss fan. I think in general there is more skepticism about Ole Miss than there are other teams in the field. Like when Ole Miss would, you know, I use the example, Ole Miss quote unquote struggled against Florida and won by 10. By the way, the struggling was, if you really watched it, it was one quarter. They had a terrible second quarter, like the end of the first quarter, yep. Second quarter, they were god awful. Like they basically just decided they were going to bite on every single DJ Lagway play fake. For what reason, I have no idea, but they chose to do that. But when Georgia, 2 weeks before, has to come back in the fourth quarter to beat Florida, everyone's talking about, what a gutty effort. What a gutty effort. And I'm like,
did they not play a pretty similar game?
Yeah, it was it could have been basically the same final result because Stockton went down on a knee when he could have scored now. But right. it feels like Ole Miss got nitpicked more than other teams in the field. In fairness, though, I think it's because of eye test. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss does not, at least on defense.
No.
Ole Miss does not have nearly the amount of dudes that everyone else does. But I would also argue this. I think Ole Miss's offensive talent is collectively slept on. I think it's entirely possible the best running back in the entire 12-team playoff is in Oxford.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lacey's a demon.
Yeah.
I think their receivers collectively, maybe they're not high-end like Ohio State, duh. But other than that, like especially now that we've seen with Williams at Alabama be MIA, is there another receiving core that you for sure go, that's better than Ole Miss's? Because Miami feels like it's one dude, and he is a dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tony is beyond a dude.
So good. Oh, my goodness.
But collectively, you don't feel great about the receivers.
Nah, you hitting on something. I think outside of the big three, the next offenses you think about is Miami and Ole Miss and Oregon.
Maybe A&M.
Yeah, A&M.
Concepcion and then Craver.
Good. See, I ain't gonna lie. People felt like they got a kind of like Indiana last year. They got a good – the schedule worked in their favor. And then when they lost to Texas, I feel like they ain't getting – like people still are kind of skeptical about – which I like A&M, and I'm happy for their coach and everything. But
to me, they're another like almost like – Alabama in that like neither side of the ball is like elite, but they're just a well-rounded football team.
My biggest concern with them, and I admit this, I've watched Marcel Reed play since he was a freshman at NBA.
Yep. He could play basketball too.
He's an awesome point guard. He will itch to throw it to the other team. Like there was a playoff game against us. His junior year, I believe, they were up three scores, and we he just kept throwing it to us, and we won the game.
Because he's only, it felt like he was just in high school. He's only, a sophomore or something?
I think he's a third-year sophomore.
Okay, third-year sophomore, which is big time because a lot of you kids commit, and then you never see him. He's actually on the field starting. Like,
maybe it's just his second year.
He's a redshirt sophomore.
Yeah.
He's already 21.
Yeah, his dad is a coach too. I don't know.
His dad was
coaching
TSU.
Yeah. And so it was funny when TSU, his dad used to tell people like, I would love for him to come here, but I think he's going to be better than TSU.
And he was.
Yeah.
And he was not wrong. That's the thing. It's like 85% of the snaps, I think Marcel's really good. But it's like those 15% can really get ugly.
So is he like a low end Cam when he was at Washington State? You know, Cam would give, you know, he used to get
No, because it's, because Cam.
Cam better.
Cam was, A, yes, he's better, but B, Marcel is like a big game hunter. Mm-hmm. Like, Marcel does not care about his completion percentage because he's throwing the ball down the field. Now, sometimes he throws the ball down the field and doesn't see the safety.
Yeah, yeah.
But he is
evidence. Like, go look at the South Carolina game from the first half.
Cam's not afraid to throw that 6-yard pass that just keeps the chains moving.
So I know
Marcel doesn't look for that.
When he first came to Miami, you was telling me that he used to throw. At first, he was nervous if he matured.
He can get YOLO.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was like a different type of YOLO. Cam would like scramble, extend the play, and then just be like, all right, I'm going to throw it all the way across the other side of the field, like that kind of stuff. Whereas Marcel sometimes just doesn't see it. But while it's not the same style, is that not also Carson Beck?
Can be. He's done that plenty this season.
I'm a big Beck defender, but even I can acknowledge dude can throw it to the other team a lot.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do it feel like a lot of this year, because we're so used to seeing them dominant, that we were a bit, when I say we, like, you know, people in the field, I feel like they was, now people giving them their respect. I feel like Georgia been good, but earlier in the year people were, because they weren't just completely dominating, like, oh, Georgia don't have this, they ain't got the money. I'm like, come on now, Kirby Smart. I have no respect for Georgia, and I'm not a Georgia fan. I keep telling y'all I'm still mad that they got left out that year because I saw a real dynasty coming, and I think they would have won it that year, although they lost. But for some reason, people was like a kind of, I don't know if they so used to Georgia winning that they're not, you know what I mean? At the beginning of the year, they were trying to think of anybody.
Well, we've talked about this. I'm now at the point where I just have to tip my cap to him because he's, quote unquote, it's my least favorite term for a quarterback, but sometimes it applies. He's a winner. Mm-hmm. I think much of the Georgia skepticism is Gunnar Stockton doesn't really pass the eye test. Like, but at the same time, like, he's kind of college Jalen Hurtsy, where if you're just asking him to have a throwing contest, he's probably not going to win it. But he keeps the chains moving. He's very good with the ball. I mean, I think he has 2 turnovers this year.
I'll double check, but that sounds right.
I think he had a pick early, and then he had the pick against Texas. But I think he's only got 2 interceptions. Keeps it moving, and he's tough.
He's nails, that's for sure.
But I do think part of the Georgia hangup was that, and then I think also the other Georgia issue was, I think we could all acknowledge Georgia up front doesn't have like the Jalen Carters, the Walkers, like the freakazoids. But I think we were all a little surprised to see how leaky the secondary would be. But one of my best friends is a diehard Georgia fan. He's fairly realistic with him. But he had always contended, he thought this team would be better later in the year because they were playing so many young guys. He thought if they stayed healthy, the more the season went on,
they'll kind of grow into it.
And that's kind of been what's happened.
Stockton has 5 picks on the year.
5?
Yeah, 23-5 touchdown interceptions.
But, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, he is kind of white dude.
I mean, 70.
Poor man's Jalen Hurts.
71% completion on that, though. Like, he's.
It's a lot of bubbles. A lot of bubble screens.
Look, when your bubble screener, though, is Zachariah Branch.
No.
Can I complain about that too much? Not really.
My question with Georgia is, when I also kind of think the 2 teams that I like the best are going to meet in the semis. So Georgia and Ohio State are going to meet in the semifinal, and then presumably the winner of Texas Tech, Oregon, will take on Indiana. Do you realize we're getting, no matter what, a crimson and white Rose Bowl?
Oh.
Because Alabama's playing Oklahoma, and the winner's playing Indiana.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And who'd ever thought that Indiana would be the... That makes something hold on the betting side. Indiana would still be the favorite, right?
I think it's still Ohio State.
No, I'm saying if winner of that game...
Oh, yeah. Indiana might be like a touchdown favorite.
Okay. So they are getting their respect from their standpoint.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because also Indiana wound up... The last 2 years, Indiana's been a very publicly bet team because Cignetti runs it up, and so people would just like lay a bunch of points. And so they... There is not a. There might even be an Indiana tax, like at this point. Because honestly, like, I think in the Big Ten championship game, I think it ended up. I thought it was going to be like Ohio State would finish closer to 7. It finished closer to 3. Now, also, that might tell you that sharp people think that Indiana was wildly underrated. Let's see. I think we also had just to get Georgia's blood boiling. Who do you think's the biggest fraud in the field?
Oh yeah, I read this.
29% said Ole Miss, 17% said Texas Tech and Alabama, 8% said JMU. What is fraudulent about JMU? I think everybody just acknowledges, like,
weren't they 12-1? Like,
well, but
they
like
beat
but they don't suppose how they fraud.
But like no one is sitting there going, this team's gonna win a game.
Yeah. Were they a fraud of the system they send to put them in?
Like, like,
I mean, I get, like, to that point, that goes to one of the other questions. Wasn't it about like the group of five schools getting in next year? It was like 88% said no, that we're not going to see two teams again.
From an SEC defensive coordinator, I think Alabama should have had like five losses this year. They shouldn't be there.
Mm.
Another Big Ten D-line coach, Alabama. Maybe I'm old school, but I don't believe a three-loss team should have a shot to win a national title. I've watched them. They're not that good this year. I didn't see enough from them to get this chance. Okay, the more I read this, the more I feel better about picking Alabama for Friday. But I just feel like everyone was like, I really like Alabama. I like Alabama this week. I like Alabama.
That game is still so weird. I mean, I don't think it's going to be the exact same thing that we saw in Tuscaloosa.
Well, my first question is, did Alabama change their signs? Because one of the cooler moments I've ever seen is I was on the phone with a football coach, and the play before Simpson throws the pick six, he announces Venables has got his signs. And literally the next snap was picks, guy jumps the route, pick six. And I was like, well, can Alabama change him up? Like, I will never, ever, ever. It's the whole thing of, remember like with the Michigan, the Stallions, the sign stealing? Mm-hmm. That is the biggest bunch of crybaby stuff in my entire life. Change your freaking signs.
Mm-hmm.
We don't understand. Like, we have a system. What? Change the pictures. Get them a wristband. There's plenty of other options. I just will never understand that.
Also, don't they have the in-ear now?
So, but remember, it goes off. And what do people want to do? They want to check the play late.
Oh, yeah.
Teach a quarterback how to call an audible. Like.
So, speaking of signs,
just
guys,
saying.
I know it's a little crybabyish, and I'm going to take it to another level, but do y'all think any of the mess that they cry about the Patriots about, like, I think they would have been winning regardless, like, from the ball of the air. I think Tom Brady is Tom Brady to them. Sneaking people practices. Like, I get it. It gives you a slight advantage, but the O-line and D-line got to still get in there and battle. Like,
I don't think they did anything that anyone else did.
They just kind of got caught.
They got caught.
Yeah.
Yep. Now.
And they were supposed to be so prestigious.
Well, this is always my argument. Don't get caught. That's true. If you're that smart, don't get caught.
But do you think they took it too far with not the Patriots, but people trying to, because, you know, people are jealous of people who does great. The ball thing, taking a look, are you think it was that much of an advantage?
So the problem is they didn't prove it. If you actually look at what the numbers were, the numbers fell within the range of if you put a pressurized ball. Like, think about with your tires. You park outside and the temperature drops overnight, mm-hmm. Your tire pressure's coming on. Why? Because your tire pressure dropped. These footballs could have been inflated to whatever, 16 PSI, whatever it was supposed to be. And then they go out in the cold, and yeah.
They're going to drop a little bit.
Right. Mm-hmm. Do I think it is an advantage? Hell yeah, I do. Let me explain. I have a pretty good arm, but I have a very small hand.
Yeah.
Do you realize how much easier it is to throw the football when there's just a little bit of air taken out? And further, it is so much easier to catch.
That's what I was about to say. If it's cold and they're hard.
Correct.
They're like rocks.
Do I think every quarterback on the planet doctors the football? Yeah. Mm-hmm. My whole thing on that was like, it was so funny how we were taking literally Tom Brady to court.
Yeah. That was,
and then we caught the Falcons for pumping in crowd noise. We didn't care because it was the Falcons. I actually think that's more cheating than whatever the gamesmanship that everybody else is doing. Pumping in the noise to me, like, that drives me insane.
See, with that, I just think that's a kind of like to be a professional team that want to do that. I think that's just more immature and petty than
Bush League.
Yeah, like that. Like
I just think it's cheating.
It is.
To me, cheating is anything where, like, it's taking away an advantage or like...
You can't communicate. Like, literally, my thing is, if you want to be loud, get the people in there.
But this is the thing. People still communicated great against the Falcons. Even if they couldn't communicate, they still ran it up on them. I don't think they were... They did anything special.
No, I'm with you. But then, like, we also had, like, the Browns where their front office was communicating with their coaching staff on the sideline.
We don't care about the Browns either.
Didn't care. Moving on.
Yeah.
No, I totally.
See, it's like the Barry Bonds argument. You still got to be good for this stuff to work.
He's the greatest player I've ever seen.
Yeah, you still got to be. So, when the Browns did it, it didn't work. When the Falcons did it, if a good quarterback would do it, if the Chiefs do it, it might help them. But they're already good.
With Barry Bonds. When he took steroids, he redefined hitting.
Mm-hmm. He had two Hall of Fame careers.
Correct.
In one career.
He's the greatest.
Yes.
Even not just him. A-Rod, and I know we ain't talking about this, is extremely talented too. I think he was really great. I see how y'all looking. I know people get the side against A-Rod. But A-Rod
was
the real
Rangers
deal.
Texas Rangers A-Rod was.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a Mariners A-Rod guy. I'm old school.
Yeah.
Both. A-Rod. But like both were still phenomenal players.
Sammy Sosa, Benko.
Well, the problem is, like, that's the thing. Is like, what do you do with a guy like Sosa, where it's like,
we don't
really know. Sosa without the juice. I know this. Barry Bonds was the most talented all-round baseball player without steroids. He truly defined five tools. Like, everything.
Did Mark McGwire get caught up too in that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was really good. This is the thing, guys, and I know this will take 18 hours on the show, and y'all know baseball better than me.
I'm also in favor of, I don't care, let them do steroids.
Yeah, because I heard that it still don't help certain, you got to be talented.
You still got to hit the ball. Now, it does help you.
With the power, but you still got to have the coordination, you got to have.
Yeah.
That's why it don't work in basketball as good, because you still got to have coordination.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it can help recovery.
Right. LeBron just is 6'9", 275, and cut like a Greek god.
Listen.
Never misses a game.
He get tested so many times a year like he's supposed to.
You know what I mean. By the way, O.J. Mayo just tested positive again.
Really?
I always find it hilarious in the NBA. No, I'm joking. But in the NBA, the only guys that ever get popped for PEDs are the guys that are out of the league. What an unbelievable coincidence that only the guys that are out of the league test positive.
Yeah, it's
I also don't care. Give me the best athletes science could build. I don't care.
Well, I think it's unfair.
If they do it under the doc, like I would prefer to have the doctor supervision, but there are plenty of doctors out there that will tell men in their 50s use HGH.
Well, I think it's a little unfair too, because guys, think about this. How many Hall of Famers are at home from back in the day, and they know they did it, but they're kind of, you know, you're like the guy that, like, you see all these other people went to jail. And
they were all just all, like, hyped up on meth. That's what greenies were.
Okay, I thought they said some of them was doing steroids.
I mean,
too.
I'm sure, but, like, you got to also remember a lot of the old school, like, anabolic steroids was just for, like, mass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, rest in peace, who was our guy, Balco? I think he just died last week.
Oh, did he?
He found out how to really build some, like, athletes. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether it be Michael Johnson, who was our other, the Canadian sprinter.
Oh,
yeah, you're talking about the Michael Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gold Shoes Michael Johnson.
Yeah, you got to say it. There's a lot of Michael Johnson.
Well,
it's also,
do I really in my heart of hearts believe Usain Bolt never did anything? No, I do not.
That's a bad boy, though.
No,
Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson. But I think Michael Johnson got caught up in it, too. But it's like the whole thing. It's like it's sprinters.
So let me ask y'all this. Why in sports, because I guess I love sports so much, why do we, and is it a media thing or just a story, why do we treat somebody in sports who cheated like they didn't commit a double homicide, though? The way, the story come out in the way like, oh, you're the worst. This might actually be a great human being. This guy might actually go to church every Sunday, never cheated on his wife, but it's like it turned him into like a devil, it seemed like.
Well, usually, and I'm having to paint broadly here.
Okay.
most of the guys that get painted like that are guys that the media didn't like to begin with.
Okay.
They were difficult to deal with, and then all of a sudden it's like you've now given them the ammo, and it's just game on.
Okay. Now, that makes sense, because it's like...
Because, like, Barry Bonds was not great to media. Now, I'm not saying... First off, I don't know if that's a crime. I'm not even taking
see,
it for
that's
not
the, really a crime.
But, like...
But when someone's Barry already Bond, a jerk, like, yeah, it's a you lot know what I mean? Like,
you're ready
just
to turn
correct.
It up.
Right.
Like, wasn't Lance Armstrong a good dude?
No. That's in the end. Why is Lance Armstrong, in a sport full of cheating, is the one guy that's paid the price. Why? Like, if you watch all the Lance Armstrong documentary, you always just leave with... The thing he was most guilty of is being an a-hole.
Yeah.
And so basically, like, his own team turned on him.
A lot of jealousy come with success.
Yeah, he was also flaunting it.
Yeah.
You know, he really did do, like, the whole, like, Christ-like figure. And now, dude also raised, like, $1 billion for cancer research. I'm not going to sit there and act like
exactly.
that didn't happen either.
Dude, think about this. I'm from the urban city in Memphis, Tennessee. Black guy across town, in elementary or in middle school, high school, who is this guy on the bike? I mean, we had the armbands.
Oh, yeah.
And this Kurt, guy created.
He made us watch bicycling.
Yes. This guy was the GOAT.
Literally, we were like trying to figure out when the Tour de France came on. Like, it was like watching it. Like, that's how big of a deal it was. Like, none of us care.
I'm sure Nike made even cool, more money on like him cool back then biking. Than they did some of the biggest stars. You remember them yellow...
Livestrong.
Man, that thing was the truth.
There's a good South Park. When Stan has his own bracelet, and he might have cut it off after he found out that Lance Armstrong was a bad guy, and then he glued it back together and was trying to still act like he didn't glue it.
Hey, you bring up them a lot. I can see me and you, we're not that far age. I know I kind of had to keep this is when I did have cable. I had to keep the remote close and kind of change it when my people came because my mama didn't really believe in first of all, she didn't know you could do cussing cartoons. And when she found out, she's like, hold on now. Like,
It's why every kid, particularly a young male, should have had to watch professional wrestling with cable TV to learn one of the most important skill sets you'll use the rest of your life, the quick flip.
Yep.
You hear your mom coming, quick flip.
Yeah.
Because then that will transition to maybe Brooke Burke's on E! Channel like late at night, and you need a quick flip back to Sports Center. Like, this is a useful skill.
Who is your favorite character on there? Because you bring up Sal Cartman.
Cartman and Randy.
Oh, Cartman it was tan everybody. And he was a fool.
That
Cartman's
tracks.
Best.
That's right.
Well, Randy, God.
See, when you bring
up... Once they turned Randy into just an absolute moron... It's pretty tough.
Like, that's the trope.
That's, but it's like back and it's. There are episodes that I'll swear Randy's my favorite character, and then Cartman will go and do something like get the news reporter to say "dick and balls" on the news, and then he's laughing hysterically, and I'm like, okay, Cartman's still the best.
Yeah.
But those are the two.
Who was the first guy you said was it Stan?
Stan's dad is Randy. Yes,
Stan. I thought Stan was like
he's the everyman.
Average kid.
Yeah,
right?
He's just the one to tell the story.
The blue hat he never got. And then was Kyle another character?
Kyle's
with the green hat.
So Kyle and Stan are the actual representation of the two writers.
Oh.
So Matt is Kyle and Trey is Stan.
But it seemed like the two more popular guys, they seem normal. The more popular, I don't know why we liked it, dysfunction and confusion. Most of us liked it, Cartman. And then somehow Kenny became a favorite and he barely could talk.
Well, also, if you ever actually do, Kenny's like, part of the muffling is because he's like the dirtiest human being ever. Like, everything he says is just like filthy.
Oh.
But they muffle it, and so you have no idea.
And then how did they come up with him getting killed every show and it still made sense?
I think it was just a gimmick. And it's like, then they got bored with it. Garrison's up there too. There's some great Garrison moments. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk a little Grizzlies. We'll do it next, right here at Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
All right, boys, I said last week I can't believe it, but I wanted to say something nice about the Lakers. The fact that the Lakers petitioned the league and said we're not doing the NBA Cup floors and they just had their own floor, thank you. I now want to turn around and say something nice about the Knicks. Knicks are bucking the NBA directive to hang a banner to make the NBA Cup matter. They're not doing it. I think that's the right thing to do. And this is they only have one championship.
So I'm torn on that. I actually think it's like five or six teams that could turn that down. Like the Spurs or like the Knicks should definitely put it up. Okay, to just show it's a.
I would like if the Grizzlies did it, I wouldn't want the Grizzlies to put it up.
I think the Grizzlies, because we need something to be happy about.
I think we would too. But I don't. It's a made for TV event. And I'm also someone that's like, I actually think it's kind of worked. I think the games feel more significant, and I'm in favor of that. I also think it is entirely a made-up thing.
I think I told you this before. What the NBA did was, and they took this from the tournaments in college, and they took this from AAU ball. No matter who
and you, soccer.
Yeah, no matter who you are, you want to compete for something. They act like they hard because they're making 20 million. Everybody want a trophy, from 5-year-olds to 45-year-olds. And so when you're only playing until the end of the year, that do make it boring sometimes, this part of your people not playing. But when they get to that Elite Eight, even though they don't need the money and the Final Four, I think they actually do play hard in the Cup.
No, I think the Cup has actually worked in that the games do feel significant, and I don't think it has anything to do with the floor. I think they're just playing harder. And so I'm fine with it like that. I also – God's watching. Do y'all know who won last year?
Yes.
I think it's the Bucks. Because I think I remember Dame.
Yeah,
I think I remember Dame running around with a trophy.
The two winners were the Lakers.
I do remember the Lakers because obviously LeBron was going to go all out.
It was Milwaukee.
Jordan has no NBA cups.
It was Milwaukee last year, definitely.
If I'm the lead, though, Jeffrey, part of your contract, that's why you get in trouble when you don't do certain stuff for the NBA or the team, or if you don't do media, is in your contract, no matter if you're a lead, minimal, you're supposed to help build the brand of the league. That's part in the NBA contract. So if I'm the NBA, I'll know it sounds like light money, and everybody gets $500,000 who win. That is part of it. Yes, you're hanging this up. And if not, I'm taking away draft picks. I'm not just finding a rich owner because they want to keep getting television stream and bid. And that's part of it. They got to make this big. When you start coming, I get the floor thing and not hanging it up. Then that dude's making it look like it's not that big to the fans, too.
I don't think you can just announce something's a big deal. like in the end, like I think we have to, like history, I think matters, and I understand, like, hey, you know, you're trying to drum this out of nowhere, but it's like the whole idea of this was it stemmed from a problem that they created, which is guys stop playing hard. And so the solution was, all right, well, we're going to do this in-season tournament. And then, like, last night's game doesn't technically count in the standings. I think they made the right call taking it out of Vegas.
Is it out of Vegas?
Well, they're going to next year. I think so they're going to home whoever has the best record or whoever's really? The highest seed is going to get it at home, yeah.
I think it is. I mean, you know how much I love Vegas, but the atmosphere is actually – I was there last year, and it was a good, really good atmosphere.
This year they must have sold like 6 tickets.
No, it was sold out.
I'm talking they're taking it out, and I don't think if it were making money they'd be taking it out.
I didn't see last night, even though my boy OG, you know, OG Andel played for me, so I'm proud of. He should have got the MVP for Pop, but the Final Four game with him, they showed that it was a complete sold out. Maybe the teams are complaining that they
I think it might have been some WWE sellouts. Cuz if this thing were making a lot of money, I don't think they're moving it.
But to me, if you give a home court advantage, or just for one game, maybe
I'll say this: the other possibility is they're optically in the midst of a gambling scandal. They don't want to be in Vegas,
so they're going to give it whoever got the best record. I think that's a little disadvantage, though, ain't it?
Well, my thing is it going to be the best record in the cup, or is it going to be best overall record? Like,
but I feel like if you're only doing a one game series, that's a disadvantage. If it was like a 3 game series,
yeah. I mean, I guess they say, well, they make sure you get the number one seed. It's like, okay, all right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next. Right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, we got to go to Puka. Puka Nacua was doing a live stream with Aiden Ross and Neon, and he started spitballing on the refs. The NFL refs are the worst. Some of the rules aren't. These guys are lawyers. They want to be on TV, too. You don't think he's texting his friends in a group chat like, yo, you guys going to just see me on Sunday Night Football? That wasn't PI, but I called it. We've gone too far in ref hate. It's an impossible thing to officiate. I find it really hard to believe that it's like, hey, I didn't see pass interference, but let me just throw a flag here. Now, does Sean Hockley's like to be on camera? Most certainly. I also think he's trying to get the calls right. All right, Coach, good to see you as always. That, of course, is Coach Hurd. I want to thank Jason Munns for joining the program. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Coach, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kinn Show is coming up next.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.